Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the Steelers in 2024, it happens in what I would call predictable fashion for this team in recent years. Good afternoon, everybody. Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller across from me, Donnie Football producing. Donnie said, let's open up those phone lines early, so I'll do that right now at 412-928-9370. If you are a critic of Mike Tomlin, and I am, well, then this is catnip for you, because this game had two things that have plagued Tomlin for a long time, and whenever the Steelers don't win, they seem to rear their ugly head, Chris. Slow starts and bad game management. I think you can sum it up that way. Two of the calling cards of Tomlin that people like me gripe about and bitch about, and I gave him credit for his 3-0 start because his defense was the best in football, and that's his baby. But flatter than a pancake start, and then inexcusable game management stuff like what we just heard at the end of the game. Is it like rollover minutes with cell phones? Can he use that timeout now against Dallas in the first half Sunday night? Does he get four
rollover
to start the game
in the NFL? Yeah, inexplicable. I don't know. I'm embarrassed. First off, I'm gonna put you over. I'm gonna say you had this one pegged from the start. You had a nervous, uneasy feeling about it. I thought the Colts injuries were going to even that out and the Steelers are going to win. I feel like an idiot. Not going to get fooled again.
We won't get fooled again, said the Who.
So I will say this. As I told you guys in the back, it felt like a game where I was trying to list all the things that happened that were, I felt, noteworthy for a talk show and something that had to get brought up today. But if you're going to ask me my initial takeaway as to why this is such an obvious Tomlin loss, it's just the fact that he got clowned by Shane Steichen for the third time, and he had no answers defensively. Like, some night, we like to focus on the game management because I think those are things that fans can sort of see at home. Like, why aren't you doing this? This seems like a common sense decision. The X's and O's stuff that very few of us understand at a granular level, right? Like the real nitty gritty. Here's how you stop this. Here's how you game plan for that. He just had no answers. None. And to a man, you can go and listen to any of these guys talk after the game. Oh, we just, they were a little better. You got to tip your cap to them. No, you don't. You guys can say that. They are all professionals. There are very good players in that team. If I could transport Quentin Nelson to the Steelers tomorrow, I would, right? But, the fact that you went in against a team that didn't have its starting center, that didn't have multiple defensive starters, and they just schematically looked so superior to you, regardless of which quarterback came in the game and played, that is jaw-dropping, and that is the biggest indictment, I think. I know it's the most broad-based, Pony. How do you bring a team in there and just have, with your defense specifically, no clue how to stop anything they're doing? I get it. Richardson creates an uneven numbers game for you if he's going to take off and run. How the hell does that explain Joe Flacco carving you up like a turkey? And don't tell, man, I don't want to hear that Joe Flacco's a wily veteran who can look at what a defense is doing and carve them up. Joe Flacco's about as mobile as me. Get after him. Cook him with blitzes. I'd rather see you go down in flames trying to get to Joe Flacco and sack him than whatever it was that they actually did.
Yeah, Tomlin looked at Roethlisberger's lack of mobility. And by the way, Ben was there, so he was a big jinx on the Steelers, just like I was. That he would just went up and down and couldn't stop talking about how mobility was so important in a quarterback. And you have the least mobile guy in the entire league just sit back there. And he was able to make play after play. He did not have an incompletion within 10 yards. So he got the ball out for the most part quickly. And when he did, it was very accurate. Yeah, Tomlin said, did take blame in air quotes, said we made an adjustment too late. Too late. You got one stop on the last possession, the last defensive possession. Before that, you let him go 70 yards on you to score a touchdown, convert three third downs. And honestly, the drive where they kicked a field goal to go up 10 with a few minutes left, they pretty much played for a field goal. They ran the ball with Sermon three times. If they actually tried to score a touchdown, they probably could have. So they really never figured out Flacco in the game. But I don't – look, I said before the game I thought Steichen was a bad matchup for Tomlin. The slow starts, though, in big games are not just a function of playing this kind of offense. That's the whole issue with them in playoff games. Yes, this was played in late September, and it did not have massive stakes. It's not Steelers at Chiefs or something like that. But one of the things we are obsessed with as Steelers fans, is this the year the playoff drought ends? Is this the year they look different than every Steelers team since 2016? Well, when you lose in this fashion, you can't say they're different. They've been outscored in their last five playoff losses in the first quarter 66-0. That's the combined aggregate score. Yesterday was 17-0.
14 before they practically got off the bus. It just, did you have, I mean,
it's
you
not
had a,
ready to play, no. Chris.
Well, they also looked confused. Like, you got Patrick Queen saying, well, yeah, I'm bad on the communication. That's my fault. You had guys just running completely free.
Well, and that's why I get back to the game management thing for a second here. So I'm watching this first drive. And Richardson comes out and throws an absolute dart on the first play of the game in real time. Like, oh my God, that's going to get intercepted. No, it's not. It's just literally a perfect pass. They start marching the ball upfield. They're going fast. So Tomlin, after the game, says that tempo got them. They weren't able to sub. They were in their nickel defense the whole time. That's what the Colts exploited. It's the first quarter of the game. You have three timeouts. I'd rather you call a timeout to get the defense that you want on the field instead of the one that is getting mutilated. I'd rather you use a timeout there to say, all right, we're not going to let them dictate terms here. Let's get the personnel out there that we want so we don't give up a touchdown to put us down 7-0. I'd rather have them do that, Chris, than, I don't know, challenge an obvious catch by Downs that literally every single person who saw the play didn't think, well, that's challengeable. And then the second they saw the replay, were like, yeah, that's assuredly a catch.
I'm convinced he challenged that play because Porter got up gesticulating. I'm totally convinced. If Porter doesn't get up pointing and waving like, come on, that he didn't catch that or whatever he was trying to say.
You're not supposed to watch what your players do. You got somebody upstairs.
Tony, I know, but he clearly is influenced by that because he like trusts his guys. And then, hold on, not even probably the worst challenge-related thing of the day, though. When Najee, pretty obviously, I thought, gets the first down.
Yes.
On third down.
Yes.
Doesn't challenge.
Yep.
Inexplicable. A guy who loves to challenge spots. Mike loves those. Doesn't do it.
And I blame.
Gets stuffed on fourth
down. I honestly blame him for the next play, too. I blame him for the next one. I know that Arthur Smith is the play caller, but we've seen Mike Tomlin get involved and say, I want to be aggressive here, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. That is your fourth and short call?
You have a 6'3", 230-pound, like Brahma Bull type of toughness guy who ran over a Colts player later in the game for a touchdown. You have a center, a rookie center, everyone is just raving about. At that point in the game, I believe, timeline's right here, you still had Mason McCormick, who's like the guy from the program, the linebacker who's a complete psycho out there at left guard. Sneak the ball. Sneak the ball.
Anything better than that where you make a fourth and inches and you make it like a fourth and five.
I just,
with the way you ran the play,
it was unacceptable. It was so frustrating. I make it a point to really not text either of you guys as much as possible during the game, but just the first couple major events, I just knew you were right, and it is really, really frustrating to see this happen again. And I hope the next time I get that sneaky feeling that you had, I don't push it out of the back of my mind, because they don't deserve benefit of the doubt in these situations.
412-928-9370. Donnie, the Tomlin game special here, the gaffe that really is still driving you nuts the next day, what is it?
I mean, they pretty much ran the whole gambit. What stood out, though, quickly, when Indy went up two scores, it really felt like the week four game from last season, that game in Houston. Felt like a game that could get ugly. Now, to the Steelers' credit, to the offense's credit, and to Justin Fields' credit in the second half, they didn't let that happen. It felt that way early. And one of the things I brought up on the pregame show yesterday was that I had a true fear if Joe Flacco came into this game, he would actually just dice them up like he proceeded to do. And I know Richardson was off to a hot start, and he looked really good those first two drives. He is still the player that's more prone to turn the football over and make a stupid mistake down the stretch. Them getting Flacco into the game with a two-score lead, basically over right there, because he wasn't going to give them that mistake that they needed in the second half.
Well, I actually disagree with that a little bit. He did give them a mistake. Joey Porter just had it clank off his hands like they were made of bricks.
And I also, for as much as Flacco came in and, to me, looked like he threw an incredible ball still at almost 40.
He does.
Just lasers right in there. The last time I saw Joe Flacco in a football game was against Houston in the playoffs, and he was he was in the giving mood that day. He was extremely charitable.
It was around Christmas time.
He looked like he turned into a pumpkin.
He was
again.
Terrible.
Yeah.
So you'd think with TJ Watt and these guys, you'd be able, and Cam Hayward. Cam Hayward, now he got a sack on the last offensive possession, but when Flacco threw that ball away, when he was holding onto him, and Flacco just ripped it to get it out of bounds for an incomplete pass, I'm like, that's a Ben Roethlisberger play. That's
correct.
Ben, like, big man dragging him down. Nope, I'm still the strong quarterback.
I mean,
that
Joe
can get the
is
ball
a big
out
guy,
with the arm strength.
But he doesn't have that reputation.
I don't remember him doing that against the Steelers
he's
at any point with Baltimore.
He's a big guy, but that's not his reputation. That's not his M.O. Did TJ play in that game, by the way?
He did not have a pressure.
Was he on a milk
carton? People are making excuses for it.
Well, there's a shock.
Well, hold on, Donnie, though. Your point there, though, does seem to let Tomlin off the hook a little bit if you do ultimately believe that the injury is why they lost for Indy.
No, it doesn't, because then after the game, I know that he said, well, we weren't really prepared for Joe Flacco.
Okay.
I get that the guys that were on the field maybe haven't seen Joe Flacco a ton, but you, Mike, the head coach, you have seen Joe Flacco about 25 times in the last 15 years. The timelines nearly match each other. We know Tomlin's first year with the Steelers was 07. Flacco's rookie year was 08. This dude has been around the block again and again. You've seen him probably more than any other opposing coach seeing an opposing quarterback in football.
I agree. You said you were nervous if he came in. If I'm Tomlin, I've got the exact opposite approach to it. I'm licking my chops.
I know how to beat this guy.
Exactly.
But and how to beat the guy is, by the way, I think Mike's favorite way to win. I think my guys are better than the guys trying to block them, and that's how we're going to win. Like, they made adjustments. Okay. I can't shake the fact that every player to a man basically said, we came out and just essentially were playing sloppy football, and we settled down, especially on defense. When we settled down and actually did what we were supposed to do, it got better.
It's just like the playoff loss against Buffalo. They dig themselves a huge hole. They get back in the game. And some people afterwards wanted to say, you know what? They were an underdog there. Just give them credit for battling back and not throwing in the towel and playing a complete crapola game. It's the same old stuff.
You're not playing Josh Allen. I can't make and you're
right.
You're a favorite in the game. I'm sorry. I can't.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Make that same.
I feel like thinning out our coverage was appropriate. Flacco is a much more proficient passer than Richardson, and so blitzing doesn't necessarily help you. A veteran guy makes quick and prudent decisions, didn't feel good. And obviously, we got experience competing against Joe Flacco.
So, yeah, and that experience didn't help Mike Tomlin. Instead, they just sat back in zone and let Joe Flacco carve them up like the pumpkins you'll be purchasing in the next couple of weeks for Halloween. Steelers' first loss happened the way a lot of these first losses happen. A lot of these big losses happen where they don't start the game until 15 minutes in. By then, they've buried themselves too big of a hole. And Tomlin, game management challenges, a disaster yesterday, timeout usage, totally glossed over in that loss. I'm sitting there, I don't understand it. And Tomlin didn't answer it. I should have asked him in the press conference afterwards. He just inexplicably called the timeout with 6 minutes left in the game. Did you? That's why they only had two timeouts.
I was checking through the
timeout,
the game
6 minutes.
Play by play.
Why?
Yeah, I was checking through it to try to see why you would have had one called there.
It wasn't a like play clock running down. It wasn't a big stop was necessary. They got the third down stop and they just randomly called the timeout with a ton of time left in the game.
It's just
no timeout after the botched snap play. All kinds of time. They're discombobulated. And then you've got fourth and a mile with the game on the line. And Mike's like, let's tempo them up here.
So he what? Presumably felt like it was worth, this is all I can think of, Pony. It was worth saving 35 seconds with 6+ minutes to go when you were about to go down 10 instead of keeping that timeout in your hip pocket and using it late in the game. That's not how anyone would tell you to use those timeouts.
I'd rather
tell you to sacrifice the clock then and have the extra timeout late. You know, like another just thing that's bizarre to me about this game, and I put it on coaching to some degree because I think really well, really, really detail-oriented teams who are really focused don't do stuff like this. The whole thing that necessitated there being, you know, a clock running in the first place on that fourth down. What is Harris doing? The prior play?
Yeah, not getting out of bounds
that
to stop
is,
the clock.
I'm very serious about this. I can put that on coaching. It should be on the player for sure. Your guys got to know you have to be moving forward. You can't just give yourself up and go backwards. I think casual football fans understand that you can't just go backwards and go out of bounds and think that that's enough. You have to be trying to go forwards or else the clock will run.
Yeah, a lot we can say about Najee Harris on this game and not much of it good. Here's Mike on the fan to start us off. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, man.
Hey, I've never been so discouraged, but at the same time, kind of encouraged about the Steelers. I think defensively.
Well, how do you feel good about the coach? I mean, the coach is the guy at the absolute top, and it was more of the same in playoff games. Inexplicably bad start, horrendous, embarrassing start, and terrible game management, Mike.
Yeah, and I agree, but I'm not encouraged about the coach. That's the part that I'm discouraged about. I'm more encouraged about the play of Justin Fields. I think it's time that these guys kind of let him loose, man. The scariest pit bull is a pit bull off the leash. You know, I'm not scared of a pit bull who's on the leash if you have him under control and he's not allowed to go anywhere and he can't do anything. But if you let him off the leash, then I'm like, whoa, wait a second. You know what I mean? So I think it's time that they either trust Justin Fields enough to, you know, let him off the leash or, you know, I don't know. Bring in Russell Wilson, I guess. I don't know if he's,
I mean,
you know,
I thought that they,
I'm not sure, but
I thought they let him get after it pretty good late in the game, and he was terrific for three straight drives. I think he was better than you're giving him credit for early in the game, and a 90-plus yard drive ended with no points because you had another boneheaded play down inside the five-yard line by somebody
Pickens.
Else. Yeah, Pickens fumble. He's holding the ball out there like he's begging for it to get knocked out of his hand, and it did.
412-928-9370. Tim is next. Hello, Tim.
Hey, guys. I called last week about how I think the Steelers' philosophy to football is a real problem, and I wanted to read you a stat that I put together.
Sure.
They've played 56 games since the end of the 2020 season. They've lost 14 of them by double digits. That's 25% of the season blowout. And in that same time span, they've won 5 by 10-plus points. So the outcome of a Steelers game generally is they barely win, they barely lose, or they get hammered. So when I saw the Colts coming up on the schedule, I was like, yeah, they're going to lose this game. And also, Najee Harris is a gap run running back, and Arthur Smith runs a zone scheme. That's why I think he looked so bad yesterday. But also, they don't have the personnel on the offensive line to play bully ball. I think that the personnel and the philosophy don't really mesh well right now.
All right. Well, the bully ball worked to wear down L.A. at the end of the game, but a lot of that was Cordarrelle Patterson, and a little bit of it was Najee.
And who looked like the better back yesterday?
Yep. Here's Tom next. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, man.
Look, I'm so fed up with Tomlin. It's the same thing year after year after year. You can, like last year, the New England and Arizona game, had no business losing that game, okay? Yesterday, he challenges plays that have, I mean, Joey Porter knew he caught that ball. There was no way to challenge that. Then he doesn't challenge Najee Harris's, that should have been a first down, but you guys covered a lot of that. Then he, in fourth down and one, he's 5 yards back on fourth and inches. You got Justin Fields, lean the ball and get the first down. But what you
on fourth and inches, there was like a 50-50 chance that Frazier would have stepped on his foot again and they wouldn't have gotten a first down. I have to at least, you know, call it like it is. They can't the old CQ exchange doesn't really work too
well. Even in the, you know, shotgun, he's done it three times when Fields wasn't ready
for
the ball.
What else you got? What else you got?
One thing you got on Flacco's first touchdown pass, Watt clearly beats the guy on the inside, and I know the refs, but look, man, he got held by both hands around his entire waist. It was a clear holding penalty. That touchdown should have never happened. That should have been a holding penalty. Regardless,
you know
they're
what?
Not calling anything.
I'm not going to argue with you on that, but I'm going to disagree with you on one thing. I'm not going to sit here and say that they don't score a touchdown on the next play. Why wouldn't they? Guys are wide open all the time. Did you see the Ogletree touchdown?
The
tight end.
Receivers wide open all the time.
Not
there wasn't
just,
even
not just receivers, the tight end on the touchdown. There wasn't a safety or corner with it or linebacker within 10 yards of them.
On the TV screen, every time they caught the damn ball, there was no Steeler. There wasn't even a block.
That's what I mean, man. I know you're tongue-tied there because it is absolutely frustrating. All right, PM team, plays of the game. We do this every Monday at 2:35. We will post what we thought were the plays of the game. You tell us the vote of the fan, the vote of the listener, which one ultimately was the difference in the Steelers' 27-24 loss to the Colts. Malzi, you're first up.
Thank you, Pony. I think the story of this game for a lot of people, really for myself included, is how badly the defense was gashed at the outset. But it's kind of like the NBA, the NFL, most of the time. Everybody makes a run. We saw it in Minnesota, Green Bay. That game got very close. Had old Donald Football maybe sweating his Vikings plus +3 Moneyball pick. Everybody makes a run, right?
Yes.
I thought this
was not always, but yes.
I thought this was actually the play that really broke the Steelers' back, and it didn't come from their defense.
We have not seen anything to George Pickens yet. Fields delivers right on cue. It's Pickens breaking the tackle. He lost the football, and the Colts have it. Julian Blackman, and more disaster for the Steelers.
A lot of crowd noise from JerMichael here.
And you can see Pickens. He's holding that football.
Okay, holding that football out like a loaf of bread that he was asking somebody to take from him. So many guys on this team said in the aftermath of the game, like, it just took them way too long to get their feet under them. Pickens holds onto that ball. I'm convinced it settles everybody down. They probably punch that in for a touchdown. I think you're looking at a completely different football game at that point. I'll go so far as to say not just because of the fact that they would have had 7 more points that they didn't get. They would have won the football game if he doesn't fumble there.
They could have been down 17-10, getting the ball to start the second half.
I just think it's a totally different game because that it took it to whatever degree you believe in momentum, it just absolutely kneecapped a very good drive, and it just cannot happen. He is their best offensive player who is not named Justin Fields right now. He cannot do that.
Ball knower Ray Fittipaldo, who we love having on the show, and he joins us on Thursdays, Post-Gazette Steelers Insider, with one of the worst takes I've seen on that play maybe ever in terms of football play takes.
Uh-oh.
Post-Gazette today. It's hard to fault George Pickens on the fumble when he's just trying to make a play.
No, I can fault him. It's nice that he's trying to make a play. Hold on to the damn ball.
Donnie, isn't everybody trying to make a play? You do analysis for college football. Every time there's a turnover, couldn't you just say, well, the quarterback was just trying to make a play. He threw that interception. At least he was trying to make a play.
I think Pickens is so talented and knows he's good that he, I think, tries to get a little cavalier like that. He was also holding the ball out on some other plays where he was running with it a little bit carelessly. It's going to get taken away when you do that in the NFL. You're not playing Georgia Tech anymore.
Richie Walsh, who was sitting next to me and was assigned a seat under the name Rick Walsh, on a Sunday and yesterday, and also had four glasses of orange soda, orange pop during the game.
I don't think I've had Richie's dentist is not going out of business.
I don't think I've had four cups of orange pop in my entire life.
You know what? I've had orange pop lately. You know what I've had? That prebiotic soda they've had now, Poppy or whatever it's called.
The healthy, of course. Malzy over here.
It's not healthy. It's still got like sugar in it. But I've been starting to drink this
prebiotic, so it helps you digest better. That's why you're taking it. You're doing it because it helps you like take a better bowel movement. Let's just come right out and say it.
Can we ask why that was his choice?
He loves it. He's like, I think orange pop's amazing.
That's how his hair. Anyways, his hair is what it is. So
he was on one of the most incredible runs I've ever seen. He obviously is in the press box for every game, and he said to me, when the game starts, watch this with Pickens. Based on his body language, when the play is being read in the huddle, and the way he lines up pre-snap, I can tell if a play is a run or pass. And he went on a heater where he got 11 or 12 in a row right.
There have been other infamous tells, AB adjusting his gloves before he knew the play was designed for him, Ben's little foot thing, but
he has like a lethargic look about
him. He just doesn't look
interested. A downtrodden look when he knows that it's a run play and he's not going to be involved.
What a pull by Richie. You would think that they would try to get through to him, like, hey,
and
George,
he goes, dude, if I can see it, you know the opposing defensive coordinator sees it, dude.
I can hear that perfectly, too.
Donnie, your play of the game.
Yes, I did. It is wild with a game where we saw the defense play so poorly. Chris went with a poor play from the Steelers' offense, and I'm going to do the same thing.
Colts defense putting him in a lot of difficult situations. Fields again running for his life, and he's going backwards.
Oh, man.
The football came loose. They're going to mark him down, but they are knocked out of field goal range. Chris LeMond at EJ Speed giving chase for the Colts.
Now we bring up the Pickens catch and fumble, and we could say, yeah, that could have been a drive where they got 6 points, and then the extra point, obviously. That's a drive where they could have gotten three, and you think back to moments like that. Well, that's what they lost by. Maybe they at least get into overtime if something doesn't go that catastrophically south. I will give Justin Fields a ton of credit, though, here. After that play, I think a lot of people probably anticipated old Justin Fields showing his ugly head, what we saw a lot of in Chicago. He would come right back out and make mistake after mistake and just kind of crumble. He played a near-perfect game after that whole play happened. He was the sole reason on offense why they even had a chance at the end of the game. He balled out after he made the biggest mistake of his season.
He did, and I give him credit. He recognized what he did on that play and took full ownership of it. And I guess I'm asking for perfection here, but when you get down that much, you kind of need it. Man, he had Hayward on a hot route. He had Harris and Freiermuth, all solutions to that blitzer coming unblocked.
Yeah, he screwed up bad there.
He could have thrown really behind the blitz, or he could have thrown behind the blitz from the other side.
If they don't rally and if he doesn't play better from there, I honestly thought we were going to look back on that play and say this was the turning point when he lost Tomlin's support and it opened the door for Mr. Unlimited Russell Wilson to go back.
For all we know, it might have.
Russell Wilson, also a guy post-game leaving who wears sunglasses indoors.
That seems on brand.
Ever do that, Don?
Can't think of a time.
I think I intentionally did it once or twice, like full well knowing I looked like a D-bag.
Corey Hart, I wear my sunglasses at night.
Here's my play of the game.
Do you start thinking about your timeouts potentially? Football is loose. Fields evading a catastrophe, but they lose a ton of yardage.
Yep, the botch snap. And all the Zapruder film-like breakdowns of what happened there. Bottom line is Fields took accountability. He kicked his leg. He said when he does that, that's when he wants the football. he got tapped, or Frazier got tapped, and then he was still looking at safeties and linebackers and forgot that he had asked for the ball. That play doesn't happen. I honestly think that they march downfield and give Boswell a chance to tie the game, and I think knowing Boswell, he would have made it, and they might have had an improbable comeback from down 17 points.
I think they might... Field goal, Pony. I think they might have scored a touchdown and just straight away won it right then and there.
Damn it, you're right. Those are our PM team plays of the game. You vote on which one you thought was the biggest. The Pickens fumble, the Fields fumble, or the botch snap. 412-928-9370 gets you in the conversation. Here's Todd on the fan. Hello, Todd.
Hi. When does it become, to piggyback on some callers, Tomlin's game plan right out of the gate? This 13-10, I'm going to win with my defense, I'm going to mano-a-mano. Why can't, after four games in, 4 years in the league, let Fields, who's shown the progress, let him chuck it. Let the first couple plays be deep balls to Pickens. See what happens. Why can't we ever come out of the gate gunslinging? Because Tomlin doesn't allow
it. You know what?
Because that's how he doesn't want to win the games.
That's a good point. You got Najee after the game saying that they're playing guys in the box. Calvin Austin's a deep guy. Van Jefferson's only success in the NFL is as
totally
a deep guy.
Agree.
And Pickens is a downfield threat. So I don't. Why wouldn't you want to do that at least a couple times just to soften up their defense, Chris?
I just think that – I actually think that's a pretty good call, because I think Mike comes out, especially in a road environment. And granted, the Colts' run defense is the worst in the league, and they didn't have Buckner. They should have been able to run on them, and apparently they just couldn't. I think he likes to come out in that kind of an environment and say, we're tougher than you. We're going to punch you in the mouth. How about just you scored a touchdown on us? Awesome. Here comes a play-action bomb to George Pickens. And if it's incomplete, whatever, you know it's there now and you've got to defend against it.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, bedroom? Just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.